Good evening. Should we just pray, actually? It would be good to pray, wouldn't it? Father, we just thank you that we're actually coming to the great teacher, Lord. We thank you that you are our teacher. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you teach us. And we want to learn from you. We want to learn what's on your heart, Lord. We want to grow. We want to be changed, Lord. We want to be fruitful. And we just ask you, Lord, for this evening that we would have our hearts open to hear what you're saying to us. And Lord, that we'd actually also be able to share with one another our thoughts and just our lives with one another so that we grow together. So we ask for that all to happen in Jesus' name. Amen. So the aim is that we will talk for about half an hour and then we'll have half an hour in small groups discussing things. So on the back of your, on the front is just the things we're going to cover, and then on the back are the discussion questions in your group. So don't look at the back. We'll just look at the front to start with. Okay, so so what happened, Izzy and I got together we talked about doing a discipleship series, and Izzy and I got together praying about it to get some idea of what the Lord was saying, so then I fed that back to the leadership, and we've come up with our own discipleship series. So we're sort of using as an outline David Watson's book on discipleship, but we will feed in other things as well. So it's not just that. Okay. So we've sort of made it up ourselves, really. But one of the things that Izzy and I, when we were praying, I thought I drew her in as the theologian, you see. So that was my thought behind it. But when we were praying, both of us at the same time had a picture of a garden, and which was amazing. And then we sort of thought around the theme of a garden. Now, I am not going to pretend that I know anything, especially with all these people here who know everything about gardening. I'm not in any way going to pretend I know anything about gardening, but what I do know is that it all started in a garden, and it's all going to end in a garden. And there's a garden all the way through at some point. And Jesus talked a lot about agricultural stuff and things growing and that sort of thing. So what we felt was that we as Colkins Mill have been planted by the Lord in Mayfield as a garden. And we are here to affect the village and the nation and the world. And as we grow together, as we grow individually and as we grow together, with the Lord feeding us and tending us and watering us and looking after us, we will be effective. We were thinking about all the different ways that gardens spread and seeds are taken and things happen. There's beautiful fragrance, there's fruit, there's seed, there's multiplication, there's so much in it. So that was the picture, and from there we have then come up with what we feel actually would be areas that we all want to grow in and be effective in. So that's the background to it. So I've written here, you can all read it, to bring us together as a church, to encourage us to grow in our personal walk with Jesus as his disciples, and to encourage us to grow as part of his body, his bride, to see how, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can impact the world we live in, to prepare us for his return. And one thing we felt strongly was that we love God and we love our neighbour, which is what Jesus said. You need to love God and love your neighbour, which is what we want to do, isn't it? We want to grow in that, in the love of God. So So in the very beginning, in Genesis, which everybody knows, but it's good to remember, isn't it? In Genesis, we have God walking in the garden with Adam and Eve, but the relationship was broken because Adam and Eve chose of their own free will. They chose to say they wanted to go their own way. And they were moved out of the garden, but with a promise. And the promise was of the seed that would bruise the serpent's head. And the word bruise there is actually to overcome. Do you want verses? That's Genesis 3:8. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So they were ashamed and they could no longer walk with God. But Jesus has come so that we can again, and he's brought us back to that beautiful relationship of walking in the garden. And right at the very beginning, we see that God said, "Let us make man in our own image." So right at the beginning, we see the Trinity. And the Trinity is one of the things that Steve is going to be talking about. That it wasn't just singular, it was that there's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit right at the very beginning. That's in Genesis 1:26. So, the other reference that I was looking at was 1 Corinthians 3:6-7 is where Paul talks about the garden, the God caused the garden to grow, and Apollos watered. So that whole, I'm just picking up the theme of the garden, really. And then Jesus talks about John 15 about the vine. So if you've got your Bibles, I'd like us to just look at this, because it is about our growth and our walk with him. Right, okay. Sorry about this. I'm too many hands here. So I'm going to read John 15, and then I thought if we would just have a look at some of the things that the Lord brings out there about us in our relationship with him. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so it may bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them, cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. The picture of the vine comes all the way through the Bible. If you want to, so it's in Isaiah 5 and in Jeremiah 2:21 and Psalm 80 verse 8. And it was a picture of Israel. But then Jesus says, I am the true vine. So we see that Jesus is the one who was spoken about all the way through the Old Testament, and the whole of the Old Testament was looking towards Jesus. And he's the one. So he then goes on to describe the relationship of the Father and the branches to the vine. And so looking at it verse by verse, in verse 1, it's the Father who tends the vine. So it's the Father that is looking after us. He looks after us. He loves the Son and he loves us, and he wants us to be part of the vine. It's all, he never ever wants us to be apart from him. And that's the it's what Jesus is reaching out to us for. Now, this part that says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he, in the Greek, which I looked up, it says aero, which is A-I-R-O. And the a lot of verses, versions say, and my one does it as well, it says he takes it away. But actually, in every other time that word is used, it is lifts up. And it's the concept of the trailing vine that's on the floor, unable to bear fruit because of where it is. And the gardener comes along and actually lifts it up and supports it so that it's brought into the sunlight, it's brought into a place where it can be fruitful. So it's not, he's not getting rid of it. It looks like he takes it away, but it's not. He lifts it up. And so if we're struggling, the reason I was looking at this is if we're struggling, if we feel like we're actually not being productive, if things are hard, if things are tough, actually the Lord doesn't say, oh, well, you're not doing any good. He doesn't just abandon you and leave you trailing on the floor. And he actually comes and lifts us. And I think it's such a lovely picture of the Father lifting us up. And then the next, bit is every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it. So this is a fruitful branch that's doing well, and God wants it to do even better. And I think that's the joy for us as well. When we had our picture of the garden, there were lots of different plants, different things at different stages, and we are all at different stages in our walk with the Lord. And all of us have been through different things, and God is taking us through different things. But he looks at us individually, he treats us individually as where we are, and we are a vital part of one another as well. So the pruning is to do with, some versions say cleansing. I don't know what you've got in yours. I think mine says cleansing. Oh, no, it says prunes and then cleanses. But it's the cutting away because there's fruit and there's the possibility for more fruit. And Jesus says that they're already clean because of the word that he's spoken. And they'd spent 3 years with Jesus. This is right towards the end of his life. It says he's going towards the cross, and they've had 3 years with him, and he's saying, "Look, I've actually spoken words over you that have changed things for you, and are making you fruitful." And all of us, I'm sure, can think of times where God's word has actually touched our hearts and actually touched in such a way that maybe it's taken us in a different direction, or it stopped us in our tracks in things that are happening, and we think, oh, actually, maybe I can think differently here. Maybe there's a different way of doing things. And I was thinking of before I went to North Korea, I know I've told some people this, but I had a couple of months before, I had been at home and I was praying, and I suddenly remembered an incident that had happened about 25, 28 years ago with somebody in my family. And it was a bit of a tricky incident in that, and in which I thought I was completely right. And I was very sure I was right. And for 28 years, I thought I was right. And when I was praying, this incident came to mind, and I immediately thought about the parable of the tax collector and the Pharisee, where the Pharisee is standing there and praying and saying, "Thank you, Lord, that I'm so wonderful, and I'm not like this horrible tax collector." And then the tax collector saying, "Lord, I'm a terrible sinner, have mercy on me." And I sat there reading this thinking, I'm the Pharisee. It was a really sort of moment. But it was a wonderful moment, actually. It was really, really... I rang the person that I had been like that with and asked for their forgiveness, and it was really wonderful. 2 months later, I went along to Mission Possible, where they were talking... This guy stood up to talk, and I completely disagreed with his theology. And I sat there thinking, oh my goodness. And I immediately remembered this incident. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, don't go there. So I backed off, I sat down, I listened to everything that was being said. Because, you know, I don't know if other people are like this, but if you think like you don't agree with somebody, it's very easy to shut down and think, well, I'm not going to listen to them. And that was the meeting that they asked people if they wanted to go to North Korea. And if I had shut down at that point, I know that I would not have gone there. And I know the difference that that has made in my life and the fruit, actually, that has come forth from it. So having the Lord show us with his word and prune us with his word is not a horrible God's going to tell you off thing like that. It's actually, this is because you are fruitful and I want you to be more fruitful. And it's a wonderful, it really does make you feel clean. So that's my my personal experience of that. Then in verses 4 to 6, it says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, and if anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away. And I was thinking that I think what happens here is that if we get to a point where we think, actually, I'm quite fruitful and I'm doing quite well, and we forget all the things about Jesus, and we think that we're doing it, and we end up doing it in our own strength, we actually walk away from his life in us. And it's not that God's saying, I'm going to get rid of you, I'm going to throw you away, or whatever. It's a natural consequence of us not being abiding in him, not having that relationship with him that is so precious and so close. And whatever way that we do that, and that's some of the things that we're going to cover in the discipleship series, the ways that we do stay in the vine, that we abide in the vine, that we spend time with Jesus and have the life, his life, flowing through us. And so we don't end up shriveling up, because he doesn't want us to. And it's a wonderful invitation to stay here. Don't go, don't leave, don't. It's other versions say remain. Remain in him. Don't take a step away from Jesus, but remain in him. And then we'll carry on being fruitful. And then verses 7 to 8. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And I think when we pray, our prayer lives are much more fruitful when we are abiding. We can pray lots of good prayers, I think. But once we start praying the prayers that are on God's heart, we start to see things happen. And we see answers to prayer. So I don't think this is it doesn't seem to me to be, well, if you abide in me, so if you're saying I'm remaining faithful and whatever, and then you can have whatever you wish. I don't think it's that sort of concept. It's actually, when we're abiding in him, we pray his prayers. We pray the prayers that are on his heart. We have the Holy Spirit praying through us, as it says in Romans 8. Is it Romans 8? Yeah, Romans 8, 26 and 27 says we don't know how to pray, but the Holy Spirit prays through us. And so it's not that we just get whatever we ask for, but actually it's that we're praying his prayers. And then 9 to 11, just as the Father has loved me, I've also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And this is the relationship that the Lord has. Jesus, when he was with the disciples, he said, look here, this is what the Father's like. He was constantly showing them what the Father was like, constantly wanting them to be in relationship with the Father and understanding the Father. And that's the joy of abiding in him. We find out about the Father and we come back into relationship with the Father. And then we know joy. And verses 12 to 17 then speak of what we were saying, that we love God and we love our neighbours. And Jesus encourages them to what love is, laying down their lives for one another. And as we grow together, that's what we want to do, isn't it? To actually love in the way that Jesus loved. That he immediately after this, it's really soon after this, that he then went to the cross and laid down his life for them. So he lived it out right in those minutes. But as we love one another and grow in love, then we will make a difference in the village, in the nation, in the world as well. So they were my thoughts about John 15. And so the disciples, then going on from that, the people that were listening to this were the disciples, who were a mixed bunch of people. And they included in them, I mean, we all know who this is not just the 12, this is the people that followed Jesus that said that they wanted to follow him and spend time with him. So there were fishermen who were businessmen, actually. There were women, there were tax collectors, the demon-possessed, the outcasts, the prostitutes, lepers, Samaritans, intellectuals, children, members of the royal household, Romans, Greeks, revolutionaries. A great vast group of people. And I was just thinking, we are all very, very different people. And I don't know how many revolutionaries we've got amongst us, but we may have. And Jesus spent time with them, and they gradually started coming together, but there were still many issues amongst them. And so before the cross, there were lots of issues amongst them. And then afterwards, things changed. So, but I was thinking they were people, they were perplexed, they were confused, they were amazed, they were unbelieving, and they were challenged. And they were constantly asking questions, and he loved them through it all. And so during this series, we're going to look at some of Jesus' teaching and Jesus himself. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was a 20th century martyr in Nazi Germany, said, "When we are called to follow Christ, we are summoned to an exclusive attachment to his person." And so we'll be looking at who is it that we're following and how do we live out that life. The themes we'll be covering, which are on here, are discipleship, the Trinity, the church and the body and the bride, prayer, the word, life and the spirit, worship and warfare, evangelism and mission, and hope. And we're going to be splitting it between us. And I've written these things. At Pentecost, there were two questions that were asked. What does this mean? And what must I do? And I think they're good questions for us to be asking ourselves. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? What do I, what must I do in order to follow Jesus and love God and reach out to our neighbours? So what we're going to do is we're going to split into groups, and for this week, what I thought would be good for this week is for us to actually take some, well, to read, if we do the questions, but to think about our own relationship with Jesus and how he called us, because all the disciples got called in all sorts of different ways, how we came into that relationship with him, and how we know that we've grown, how already we've grown, and also what our hopes are and what we're looking forward to seeing more growth in, or as a group as well, what we're looking to. There's one part of it that's looking up lots of Bible verses, but it's finding out what the disciples were like as a group before the cross and then what they were like after. So that's the thrust of the questions. All right.